Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 16, and is on the subject of fasting. When you fast, do not look somber, as some of the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Amen.
We're going to talk about the discipline of fasting this morning. It's one of those subjects that we don't talk about very often, and it may be one of those practices that you don't do. But I just wanted to bring a bit of light to God's word over this morning. It may be that you have a good reason not to fast, and that might be a medical reason. But having a spiritual discipline is really important to our lives. It's about the rhythm of life that we experience when we walk with our Lord. That sense that we daily surrender to Him in that obedience to His call, in recognition of His love for us and our love for Him. And as we grow in that relationship with God, that sense of that routine, that regularity becomes really important to our daily journey with Him. So having a spiritual discipline is a good thing. I suppose it's a bit like driving, isn't it? If you drive without any road signs and without obeying the speed limits, dare I say that, and drive as you want, then chaos would ensue on the roads, wouldn't it? You might think that actually I'm driving in France but not in the UK and it doesn't matter. Carnage would happen, wouldn't it? But the road signs are in place, the laws around the road are in place so that we can drive safely. Spiritual disciplines are in a similar ilk, that sense that we have a path set out before us where we can experience the fullness of God in all that He has with us. Now, I'm not saying that we live under the law because we live under grace, but that sense that God has given us a discipline that enables us to experience the fullness of Him in all that He is. They say that spiritual disciplines are habits and practices and experiences that are designed to develop and grow and strengthen certain qualities within us. It's a bit like exercising and keeping fit. If you don't exercise and don't look after your body starts to waste away and grow in the wrong direction. Or could do. So fasting is something that we see modeled throughout Scripture. It's not fun. It's not easy, but let me tell you, it is powerful. Fasting is not fun, it's not easy, but it is powerful. One thing I want to say about fasting is that it's not something that is done on its own. It's always accompanied with prayer. And that's why last time I spoke, we looked at the message of prayer from Matthew 6. And directly after that message of the Lord teaching on the Lord's Prayer, He then goes in to talk about fasting. So fasting is not something that's done in isolation, but it is done accompanied with prayer. So actually, perhaps my title should have been The Discipline of Prayer and Fasting, would have been a more appropriate title this morning. The other thing to say is that fasting is normally fasting from food, but I alluded just earlier, that if for a medical reason you're unable to fast from food, then might I suggest fasting from something else? It might be fasting from social media. It might be fasting from watching the TV and the latest soaps. Whatever occupies a good proportion of your time, I would say something that you could look at fasting from to enable you to spend a deeper time with God. We know that Jesus fasted for 40 days before he went into his began his ministry in Matthew 4. 40 days in the wilderness. And at the end of that, the enemy, the devil, came to tempt him. And we know that Jesus rebuffed him. I can't imagine what it would be like to have 40 days without food. Has anybody tried it? No. Don't try it, I think I would suggest at this moment. It's not something that you rush into. I think fasting is something that we prepare ourselves for. It's that sense of getting ready, not a snap decision, but maybe it comes, the Lord apportions you and says, John, it's time to fast. Or it might be that you have that sense of urge following today and you sense, Lord, what is the right time that you would want me to fast before you? Fasting is something that we do that honors God. Now, I'm not suggesting that we undertake that 40-day period. It might be a 12-hour period. It might be a 24-hour period. It might be a 3-day fast. It might be a 10-day fast. Whatever God calls you to do, I would suggest be open to that. So Jesus answers the question about fasting when he was asked in Matthew 9, verses 14 and 15. The disciples came and asked him, how is it, that John's disciples came and asked him, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus answered, how can the guest of the bridegroom mourn while he is still with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, then they will fast. So that sense before Jesus journeyed to the cross and beyond and then to ascension. Then, Jesus talks about, then they will fast. It's not I don't believe it's an option. I don't think Jesus is saying, well, if they want to, they could. But then they will fast. The instruction of Jesus is not if you want to, but when. Prayer and fasting is a way for us to focus upon God in a greater way. I also believe that fasting can teach us the importance of our spiritual food. Jesus said to the devil in Matthew 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Does that point to something more than food? I believe it does. So what is the purpose of fasting? What is the purpose? And I want us to just help us understand that a little bit this morning. The Old Testament gives us a number of examples about fasting as an act of repentance. And if you turn to the book of Daniel, and we're going to look at chapter 9. I just want to read from verse 3. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petitioning in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, the Lord, the great God and awesome God who keeps his covenant love with those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. So the first reason that we get in Scripture about fasting is about repenting, coming before the Lord in fasting for the act of our sins, in true repentance to God. Daniel prayed for himself and the nation, but that sense that we too can come in repentance before God with prayer and fasting. In the Old Testament, obviously, they put sackcloth and ashes on. But as we read in our scripture this morning, it talks about actually doing fasting in secret, not necessarily as a corporate thing. And then if you turn to the book of Joel, and Joel 2, verses 12 to 15. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And he relents from sending calamity, and so on and so forth. That sense that when we've wandered away from God, when we are distant from God, one of the best ways of coming back is not only to repent before God, but really show God that we mean what we're saying. That was the book of Joel, Joel 2. So the next purpose is to intercede before God, something for something or someone. The example I've chosen is from the book of Esther. Esther 4, verses 15 and 17. When Mordecai fasted before the Lord because he had learned of the plot of Haman to destroy the Jews. Do you remember that story? How Esther made that recognize how Mordecai had heard of Haman's plan. And so Esther asked Mordecai to pray and fast for 3 days, and that she would do the same, so that they might know the will of God for what his plan was, and that they would hear their cry for the Jewish nation. They went to intercede, to prepare themselves to receive God's answer. As we looked last week, the Lord's Prayer, that line in the Lord's Prayer, your will, not my Lord. What is your will, not mine? As the story unfolds, we see the plot of Haman was broken because they sought the Lord, because they came and fasted before the Lord. So prayer and fasting can bring about change. Where there seems no way, God does the impossible. The prophet Isaiah teaches us about fasting in chapter 58. And I just want to read this first part of chapter 8. Shout aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions. They seem eager to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? And yet the reply comes, yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please. You exploit your workers. Your fasting ends up with quarreling and strife and striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. That sense that when we come and fast, we're coming to seek God, to be anchored in his presence, and to know the power of his love working through us. But if we, as Isaiah was challenging, if we come in fasting in the wrong way and our attitudes are not in humble submission to God and we carry on as normal, then what is the point? It is pointless, Isaiah points to us. Our voice will not be heard on high because we are not living in reflection of a humbled person before God. If fasting doesn't mean anything to you, the question is, does it mean anything to God? I would suggest not. When we come to pray and fast, it is that bowing down before the Lord and worshipping him, so that we might petition before him, we might cry out before him. But our God sees what we do in secret, and he hears our voice. We know that because Scripture tells us. See, fasting is about taking the time to bow the knee. Well, it says in Romans 12, verse 1, offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. That is our act of spiritual worship. That act of fasting is breaking that physical break, that routine of putting food in our stomachs and saying, actually, Lord, you are more important than the food we eat. What does that verse I refer to? Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. It's about denying ourselves and allowing God to be God. Surrendering all that we are and saying, Lord, what I bring today is all that I am. I'm going to go without, whatever it's food, whatever you're fasting from, I'm going to go without today because I want to draw closer to you. I've got this issue on my heart that I've just been burdened with. I'm not seeing breakthrough, so I'm going to come and I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast before you until I hear your voice speaking clearly. I've got a big decision to make this week, Lord, and I don't know which way to go. So I'm going to come, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to fast, and I'm going to wait before you so that I might hear your voice clearly. Fasting is that place of humbling ourselves and waiting before God. In many ways, fasting is that demonstration of that deep longing for the not yet of the kingdom of God. That yearning that keeps coming from deep within us, that, Lord, is that impatience as we wait before the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm sure there are many things that you're waiting on God for. Are there? Or am I on my own? There are things that we hold before God. It may be the lives of loved ones that you want to see come to faith. It may be a situation that you're praying about that you want to break through, you want an answer in. I would challenge you this morning and saying, if you're in that place, when was the last time you prayed and fasted before God? So that you might know His perfect and pleasing will for our lives. Our reading this morning starts by saying that when you fast, not if you fast, but when. These are the words of Jesus. When you fast, don't look as somber as the hypocrites. You don't need to put a face on. You just need to be real before God. It's not about showing off to everybody else, hey folks, look, I'm fasting today, aren't I good? It's not about that. It's actually about as we come before our Maker and surrender ourselves to Him and say, Lord, I'm laying myself at your feet this day. It doesn't mean that when we fast, we then fill our time up because we're not eating with other things. So it means, oh, if I haven't got to eat today, that means I can go and do A, B, C, and D. No. I would suggest that it's that time, actually, that we would normally spend cooking, preparing, and eating, stopping and spending time before the Lord. Being purposeful and intentional about the way that we want to surrender ourselves to Him. When we do that, I believe God sees our heart and clearly speaks to us. But in many ways, it's about clearing the decks, isn't it? Clearing the clutter from our lives and saying, Lord, I'm just going to give you this space now. I'm going to give you this space so that I can hear you speak no matter what's going on. No matter what pressure I'm facing, I'm just going to clear the decks. I'm going to allow you to speak into my life because this is where I'm at today. This is what I'm crying out for you for. This is what's burdening my heart. We sang, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Is your soul longing after God in the circumstance, the situation that you're facing at the moment? Is it in that place of deep longing for Jesus to move? If it is, I pray that you will spend time saying, Lord, may your will be done. May your will be done in my life. May I see the evidence of that being worked out because I surrender all that I am to you. Fasting can be difficult. It's not necessarily fun. You might enjoy your food and all the flavors that you get. But what you're saying is you're making a statement to God and saying, actually, I'm going to surrender that for my God, for what he has done for me, for what he is working out in me. I'm going to lay that down. I'm going to say, Lord, have your way in me this day, or this next 2 days, or this next, however long it is. But give it a period of time. Can I challenge you with that? But do it prayerfully. Do it waiting before the Lord. Not a snap decision, but plan it. Plan it. You look at your diary and say, well, I can't do it today because I've got da-da-da-da-da. But next week, there's a window of opportunity. Maybe I can do it then. Plan it out. Be prepared. Organize yourself. It may be that you've got grandchildren or children or whatever, and life is pretty hectic at the moment. But Lord, you might pray, Lord, show me. Show me a space where I can do this for you, where I can just give you that bit of extra time that might see you move in this situation. God loves to see what we do in secret. Not what we do in public, but what we do in the quietness and in the recesses of our own private prayer time. When you fast. When. That is the challenge, isn't it? When we fast. How many times a year should we do it? That's a question before you and God. But I would suggest it's a discipline that's important because Jesus instructed his disciples to do it. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the truth we find in your word. Father, I pray that you would speak to each one of us regarding this issue of prayer and fasting. Lord, if you are calling us to seek your face over particular issues, over circumstances or situations that we are facing, Lord, if you want us to fast, would you impress that upon us now, I pray, that we might know that discipline of walking with you. Guide us, Lord, in our journey with you. May we be obedient to your call and your word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the best part of this text, the final, last half of the sentence, in verse 18, it says this, but only your Father who is unseen and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Will reward you. I'm not going to unpack that, but just there is great reward in spending time with God. Great reward in doing those things that he calls us to.